Hi, I'm Govind J. Raman, and this is Paper Napkin Wisdom. Today we have Paige Zinn. Paige is the principal and owner of Jennings. Jennings is a healthcare marketing firm in North Carolina, and she is a really dynamic leader who has changed the way she leads. And she's going to tell us exactly how she's done that and the impact that it's had on her team. Let's listen to my conversation with Paige Zinn. Paige, welcome to Paper Napkin Wisdom. I'm thrilled you're joining me here today.
I am thrilled to be here, Govind.
So you shared a very interesting paper napkin, which is quite lovely in its design as well. So why don't I ask you to just describe what you wrote down for everyone listening?
Yes, so my paper napkin said, "Make the everyday sacred." And I guess it could also be stated as making the ordinary sacred. And I learned that in a book that I've been reading for the past year. It's a daily meditation book called Simple Abundance by Sarah Brusnak. And it's meant to be opened every morning or at some point during the day. And it provides you with just very basic reminders of how to live your life. And that idea of making the everyday an ordinary sacred came directly from Sarah. And when I read it for the first time, I thought, wow, I do not do that, and I really need to think about it. So it's made an impact on me the past year, year and a half since I've been reading this book, and it's something I think about every morning when I get out of bed and something I think about every morning when I'm reading her writing.
So what I think is interesting about it is that while it resonated with you, this is definitely something that you need to be intentional about and connect with every single day by the sounds of it.
It is. I am the notorious beta mode person. You and I learned about that at EMP this year with Dr. Bell.
Yes.
And so for those listening that don't know what that means, beta mode is when you are multitasking and just basically ticking to-dos off a list without putting much thought behind it. And you're not very present for the work that you're doing, whether it be important work or just the tedious work. As opposed to being in alpha mode, where the real thinking and listening occurs and the real being occurs. So for me, being in beta mode most of my day in the past, I just moved through life. And I moved through life in my professional world as well as my personal world. And I realized when I read that I was doing it. I think I knew it all along, but when it was articulated so beautifully in this book, I thought, wow, life really is in the details. So I make a constant and consistent effort every day to remember. And like I said to you before, I'm not successful every single day with everything I do, but I'm certainly making progress. So those things that, you know, you get wrapped up in that you don't really enjoy doing, that you have to do, whether it be in your work life or your personal life, I really try to slow down and say, you know what, it's a blessing to be able to do any of this. So look at the situation a little bit differently.
That's awesome. Now, I mean, okay, let's put that at odds with, you know, you're a very dynamic entrepreneur, you run a growth company. How do those two things fit together? Because one seems like it's slow paced and intentional, and your business life is everything but that.
Well, that's where the real, I guess, challenge comes in. So I had an aha moment after seeing Dr. Bell speak the first time before EMP. He was talking about this alpha mode and this idea that you want to be in alpha mode as a business owner 80% of the time. And I thought, there is no way in my life that I can achieve 80% alpha mode. I have too many people asking for too many things at any given moment. How can I just find the time to sit and think? And one day I was just, I don't know what I was doing, but I just had this moment of clarity. And what I realized was it's not about having moments where you just sit and think to achieve alpha mode. It's about being 100% present no matter what task you are doing. So if you are writing a grocery list for the day, you can be in alpha mode. If you are making your kids' lunches and then also trying to deal with an issue that they're struggling with, you can be in alpha mode. It's a state of mind. It's not about what you're doing. It's how you're doing it. So at work, when I am maybe interrupted because instead of having that hour of thinking time I was looking forward to, I have 3 meetings scheduled, I just try to change my perspective on it and say, you know what? I'm going to give whomever's in front of me at that given moment 100% of my attention. And I might not get everything done on the to-do list that was there when I started my day, but everything I do accomplish that day, I'm going to feel good about it, and I'm going to feel like I made a difference. And so that's really the aha moment for me with Dr. Bell and this idea of alpha mode, and it definitely ties into slowing down, living a little bit more simply, doing less, and making that ordinary to-do list sacred.
You know, I find that really fascinating. I mean, and what you're really talking about is the notion that everything that you do is sacred helps you stay in alpha mode. And I hadn't thought about it that way. But what was really neat about it too was that when you first shared with me your paper napkin page, I actually thought that it said, again, not being in alpha mode enough, make every day sacred. And I missed the, and the, that little word, that 3-letter word is a really big deal.
Yeah. I mean, so you're in the same boat I am. You have a family, you have kids that are young, they demand a lot of your time. It's very easy to overlook the little ordinary everyday moments that occur, right? The smile that they give you, the times that they want your attention, the drive to soccer practice. I mean, all of those things in your personal life, but you can equate it to your professional life as well, right? You know, the meetings that take place every week that you take for granted, that you just kind of move through without really being present. And for me, you know, not to get too religious or anything, but God is in the details, whatever your God is. And people have said that all the time. And finally, I'm beginning to better understand what that means, that it's not the big events in our life that define us. It's how we act and react to the smaller events. And I really believe that. And at a real visceral level, it makes sense to me. And it makes sense, again, not only in my personal life with regard to my family and friends, but it's making more and more sense in terms of how I deal with my team at Jennings. I've really changed the way I want to interact with them, the way that I want them to get to know me. I typically have been a little more standoffish and aloof at the office because I was trying to build this wall of sorts, you know, separate myself a bit. I think I shared that at EMP, actually. And now with this new idea of just making the everyday and ordinary sacred, I'm trying very hard to just change the way that I move through this life.
I think that's really powerful because it talks about something else. I mean, I think a lot of us as entrepreneurs believe that we have to have that facade, mm-hmm. that we have to put up that I am infallible, I am the leader, here's my flag, follow me. And you're saying that you're not feeling that way anymore, but beyond not feeling that way, you're believing that you can change everyone's perception of you as well.
Yeah. And you know, I think ultimately we're all human beings, right? And, what I'm realizing is I'm not saying that I am, but I could be the smartest person in this world with the best vision and best strategy and tactics available to a team. But if I don't connect with them in any way, then I don't think we're going to be very successful. And I think in the past, I've lost sight of that human interaction element that is so vital in making a team successful, whether it's a professional team at your company or whether it's a family. And, again, going back to just slowing down, everything that I'm doing, trying to do it a little bit more slowly and deliberately, doing it more completely, doing less, not trying to just tick through the to-do list just so at the end of the day I've said, oh my gosh, look at what I've done. But whatever I'm doing it better. You know, creating space between the things that I do. This whole notion of slowing down but doing things better really is starting to make more sense to me. And Dr. Bell has talked about that in various seminars, and I never quite got it. But finally at 45, I think things are starting to click.
What's amazing, though, is that it does take repetition for us, right? I mean, we are only human, and it does take repetition. Sometimes we need to see the same message from different angles over and over again in order to really have it hit home.
And I mean, not to, I know this isn't necessarily a soundboard for promoting EO, but I think one of the things for me that's been so vital in EO and EMP is these lessons are communicated by different people each year through different opportunities. And you're right. You have to hear them a certain number of times and in different ways before they really start having an impact.
Yeah. No, I think though it's fair to say that as entrepreneurs, we need to be, you know, in a forum of our peers so that we can learn from the experiences of other people. And if we get enough of those, we're going to find those moments, those points in time that intersect with our journey where we are right now and help us make the realization that, you know, for example, that you've made just now.
I completely agree.
So given that this is a new experience, given that relatively, you know, this is something that you're experimenting with, you know, have you found yourself struggling with implementing it universally and consistently?
No, I mean, that's the crazy thing. I'll make an analogy to when my husband Omar and I started dating, and everyone talks about, you know, you hear your friends talk about wanting to get married and they just wish their husband or soon to be husband would ask, and they were so stressed out about it. And for me, it was this very natural thing. I was not stressed at all because I just knew in my gut we would one day get married. It just was right. It just felt like the perfect situation. It's kind of a similar feeling. Now that I am aware of this idea, and now that it's been put in language that really resonates with me, I get it. And I'm not saying I'm successful every day. I'm not even successful every moment, you know. But I am trying darn hard to remember it. And when I find myself not being present and trying to remain in that alpha mode and allowing myself to go more toward beta, sometimes I can control it, but sometimes I can't. But at least I acknowledge that I was there and it wasn't the perfect situation and move on. So no, it actually feels very natural, Govan. It feels like what I should be doing.
That's amazing. It's amazing how powerful a decision can be once we make it from a very sincere and open place. You know, you made this decision for yourself, not because it was thrust upon you or it was forced. You made this realization as part of your growth as an entrepreneur. And that's what we're here to do as entrepreneurs, right? We're here to grow. And we have that capacity for growth around us. We all do. But as leaders, we find those sources in different places, don't we?
We do. And you know, running a team at the office and then being a role model for my kids and my husband, I mean, I do believe it's a lesson that if I can't teach anything else, if I can teach this one thing in some small way, I will feel like I did something pretty big. And I don't say that I don't say that lightly. I mean, I mean that. I really do feel like it's something that not a lot of us are able to really embrace given the fast-paced nature of our lives. Mm-hmm. And we feel like we're always just supposed to be doing, doing, doing. And I am right there as one of the guilty parties in that. But if I can teach my kids and share the thinking with my husband and teach even just a few people at the office kind of that value of slowing down and being present and truly listening and really respecting and appreciating the ordinary of everything of every day, then I feel like I will have done a pretty significant thing.
That's awesome. Let's talk about that. You know, I mean, you're measuring ROI almost in that way. I mean, it's a very entrepreneurial thing to do, that you're looking at your ROI and looking at your ROI through people. So let's talk about that. Have you noticed, you know, you talked about that if I've been able to make that impact, then I will know I've been successful. Have you noticed an ROI already? And this is just a couple months in.
I have. So, you know, at home, one of the things that I talk about in my forum quite a bit is the need that I want to be more fun. You know, that my kids are always saying, Mom, stop working, be more fun. And, you know, Daddy's fun. Mommy's like the person that gets things done. But this summer, I can already see a difference in my kids and how they interact. And they're loving the fact that I'm more present and enjoying their company. And they're enjoying my company because I'm trying not to stress as much over the small stuff. And just when I'm here, have fun with them. At the office, I probably have seen even more of an impact because people that I typically did not have the opportunity to speak with regularly by virtue of just, you know, doing very different things. I'm making more of an effort to schedule meetings, check in, have lunches, get to know people, get to understand what's going on in their lives, sharing things with them about what I'm doing and thinking. And now people will just stop by my office, want to chat. That never used to happen before. And I love it. You know, that's what life's all about, right? Making those connections and having those experiences. And I think I just lost sight of it. If I ever knew it, I don't know if I ever knew it, to be honest with you. So yeah, I would say in just the past few months, I have seen a very, very discernible impact, not only on my family, but at work.
So do you think that you need to do, and I don't want to say more of this, but do you think that you need to do this in a consistently elevated fashion in order to continue to be impactful with it? Or is this just authentic and it's going to flow?
You know what? It's a good question. I don't know if I know the answer to that. What I will say is every morning I'm taking time to ritualize the reading and the thinking about it.
So let's talk about that ritual before we move away from that. What does that ritual really look like?
Well, you know, according to Zen Buddhism, developing rituals is just a basic way to live a full life, a meaningful life. So for me, before my feet hit the floor in bed, I say a little prayer about what I'm grateful for. And it can be the big things, or it can be the small things, like someone who smiled at the grocery store that made my day. You know, but I take a moment to be thankful, and I do it at nighttime before I fall asleep. And then in the mornings, I do take about 15 minutes. I open my Sarah Breathnack book. I read that day's meditation. And then I also have a list of things, 12 things, according to Zen Buddhism, that you just want to remember when going about your life. And I read those through. And I've also started a quotes notebook. And any quotes that I run across, but I mean, they can come from anywhere, but they primarily come from this book I'm reading. I write them down and I carry them with me. And the idea for me is that I'm setting aside time each day to do something that's important to me. So I'm developing that ritual and I'm designating that time for certain things that are important. And it's just a great way to start my day. No matter what is on my plate that day, it sets the tone. So that's what I mean by a ritual. You know, it's something that I look forward to, and I sit down here in my office with my cup of coffee and I have that 15 minutes to myself.
I think that, you know, when I was at Leadership Academy, also through EO, I learned about starting the day with intention from Warren Rustand. And he talked about reading great thoughts, writing great thoughts, and thinking great thoughts, and how important that was to put ourselves in a frame of mind that allowed us to break free of the challenges of yesterday and think about the possibilities for tomorrow. And I think that's so critical. Because the default position is somewhere that's definitely less than positive and less than what we are capable of on a daily basis, right?
I completely agree. I mean, you know, if we allow ourselves to be dictated or allow our thoughts and our actions to be dictated by random events, we're probably not going to like the outcome too much, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, very, very true. No, Paige, this is a great conversation, and I think it really works well with Paper Napkin, because this is where this came from for me, because I had a hard time finding things to read in the mornings, and the conversations that I would have in entrepreneurial circles would lead me to writing notes on paper napkins that I would use for that morning inspiration. And it's really fascinating to me that I've got this amazing napkin from you that sort of sums it all up in four simple words.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for joining me. Hopefully we can do this again.
I would love it, and enjoy the rest of your summer, Govan.
Thanks. You too.
Take care.
What a great conversation with Paige. And Paige is really a student of leadership. She's taken all of those learnings and made them come to life by changing the way she looks at things, by changing the way she interacts with her team, and moving from beta into alpha. And we can do this. We all have that ability to change the way we are listening to people, and that will impact the effect we have on our teams. Try it out. Try it out, and try to think about that childlike approach to listening, where you're all in on every conversation. You're in that listening position, leaning forward ever so slightly. What impact would that have on your team, being all in on every conversation? I think it gets us to a place of great inspiration. What do you think? I'd love to hear from you. Please log on to papernapkinwisdom.com. Alternatively, you can follow along or comment at Wise Napkin. Last but not least, log into our Facebook page. Like us there. Just search for Paper Napkin Wisdom. Finally, don't forget to look into our Paper Napkin Wisdom Leadership Academy, pnwleadershipacademy.com. My name is Govan Jayaraman. This was Paper Napkin Wisdom. Thank you for listening. Make it a great day.